Most of us try to avoid getting audited by the IRS when we file our taxes every year, but this year, Luke Douglas is hoping to attract tax officials' attention. Douglas is the executive director of the Humanist Society of Greater Phoenix, and he is using himself as a test case for a federal tax exemption for clergy. He's hoping to prove that he should qualify for the same exemption in his role with the secular humanist organization. It's a case the Freedom From Religion Foundation decided not to pursue to the Supreme Court. And I sat down with Douglas recently to talk more about it.
So the parsonage exemption in the U.S. tax code says that a pastor can receive a housing allowance from the church that employs them and not report that in their personal income taxes in the way that all of us take a salary and have to pay taxes on the full amount. It's one exception to the way in which all nonprofits are sometimes treated the same as houses of worship, but in this case, houses of worship get a special tax benefit.
So I want to back up and talk about what exactly it is that you do and what the Humanist Society of Greater Phoenix is. Do you consider yourself clergy?
I don't like to use that word, but as the executive director, that's an administrative job. I organize a community of non-believers who engage in everything from bringing in educational speakers to activism to community service of a variety of types. And the clergy aspect of that is a certification that the American Humanist Association has called a celebrant, which means I'm legal to perform weddings and funerals and give invocations at legislative gatherings and all of the things that traditional clergy are able to do.
Right. And the Humanist Society is something that's been around for a long time. Can you give us a little history?
Yeah, actually, starting in the early 70s, the Humanists of Greater Phoenix would meet in restaurants and coffee shops. And then in 2005, they incorporated as their own nonprofit. They got a building earlier this decade and earlier this year took the leap of faith of hiring a full-time executive director to try and take their organization to the next level.
And give us a sense of what it is that you believe. This is a nonprofit organization, obviously. Is it a non-religion? Is it an anti-religion?
Well, our focus is always on building a positive alternative more than on anything that we don't believe. So the idea is a progressive philosophy of life in which critical thinkers will try to live better lives through open discussion, through following the evidence, and through coming together to form a community of people who are trying to do likewise.
Mm-hmm. How large is the organization here?
It's around 300 members and a lot more people who come and go and participate at different levels.
So let's talk about this test case idea, right? So critics say that this exemption is like a subsidy for clergy, essentially. And you're not challenging its existence. You're challenging the way it's applied?
Our contention is that it should apply the same to religious and secular nonprofits. So from a tax policy standpoint, whether you'd rather have it apply to everybody or have it apply to nobody, that's for Congress and the president to decide. But as far as the separation of church and state goes, it should be the same across the board.
And what would that look like for you? I mean, how big of a difference would this make in your work?
It would make a pretty small difference in my, you know, my personal finances, because again, it's to the clergy specifically, not to the organization. And of course, with the risk that if we lose the case, I'd have to pay that back later. But the main issue that I'm interested in is being a test that will allow different secular organizations around the country to look at this and say, oh, now we can start professionalizing. We can start having people who are either full-time or part-time to organize our communities. And if we provide a housing allowance, that makes it more financially achievable for organizations to go from volunteer run to professionally run.
I wonder where, how you came to the decision to do this. I mean, was there a conversation in which you said, I don't know if it's really worth it, or do I want to be the person at the center of this?
Well, I think for me, it comes down to looking at the biggest opportunity to make an impact. And so when I see a court case that has stalled at a certain point and there's an opportunity to pick it up and take it to the next level and potentially even take it to the Supreme Court and make a real difference, that's a no-brainer. I'm not excited about getting the IRS more involved in my life, but that is the cost of doing business for making a difference.
Is it a guarantee that they are going to challenge you on this?
There's no guarantee that there will be a court case, but I think even inaction would effectively set the precedent that it's worth trying for other organizations, that it won't be as big of a risk for the second person that tries it as it would be for the first.
Do you feel like you are often overlooked as a, like you say, non-believer?
I would say that non-believers have a disadvantage going in terms of the organization level. And I think the last time you mentioned HSGP on the air was in reference to some new polling data about religious unaffiliated surpassing both evangelicals and Catholics in the United States. Mm-hmm. You would never think that in terms of the religious dialogue in public policy. And all of that comes down to organization. And so humanism seeks to take some of these religious nuns, many of whom come out of traditional faith.
Nuns, N-O-N-E-S.
Yes. These religiously unaffiliated people and say, all right, you don't have anything filling the void left by a religion that you may have left. Well, let's form these communities and give ourselves a united voice to go to the next level mm-hmm. of doing good in the world.
It's interesting, right? Because religions are these organized bodies, and that's often what non-believers or people who don't want to be involved in religion criticize religion for. Like, I don't want to be part of a broader institution that tells me what to believe. Do you think that that's what you're trying to do as an organization of non-believers?
I definitely hear that every day. But I think the real difference is how we organize and what we do when we organize. Humanism is about forming an umbrella under which people can gather with their different ideas and a diversity of viewpoints and discuss them critically without a creed from the top down telling us what to believe.
Luke Douglas is the executive director of the Humanist Society of Greater Phoenix. Luke, thank you for coming in.
Thank you so much, Lauren.